Radio Real. Real Radio. Your reality. Welcome to a behind-the-scenes look at the quest for the Golden Prim. This is Gabrielle Real. Please join me to discover the mysteries of the making of the webcomic as I interview the creators, writers, producers, and cast of the quest for the Golden Prim. The time for secrets is at an end.
The public library in Caledon, Victoria City. The Whitehorn Memorial Library. What could be more innocent, more innocuous than that? And that fine, upstanding member of the community, the chief librarian, Sir J.J. Drinkwater. How could such a man harbour strange and terrifying secrets? Yet, after the library closes, a new world opens. A dark world beneath the streets and parks of the daylight world we know. A world where the respectable librarian becomes the keeper of secrets. And yet, that will change.
The time has come, I believe, to answer those long-buried questions concerning the lost expedition to the land of the Golden Prim.
And so the adventure begins. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Gabrielle Real. I am broadcasting and recording live this afternoon on Radio Real. This is the pilot podcast for the quest for the Golden Prim. We're going to have this podcast that accompanies the story, the webcomic. For those of you that don't know, The Quest for the Golden Prim is a webcomic that runs in the Primgraph magazine. And the magazine comes out approximately every 6 weeks. And there's a new installment coming with every new magazine. And we'll have this podcast to accompany it as well with some behind-the-scenes information, take you backstage so that you can learn about how the quest for the Golden Prim comes together. And I'll be taking you on that journey, but with us today, I have two of the people that are responsible for creating the quest. Welcome to both Safia Wittershins and PJ Trenton. Hi, guys.
Greetings. Hi. Thanks so much.
Well, before we get into the dirt and find out about how you guys put this together and why you've done the things that you've done, I want to just give our listeners a little bit of an introduction as to who you are and what it is that you do here in Second Life, and then we can get into the actual dirt of what's going on with the quest. So please, we'll start with Safia. Tell us just a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you do here.
Well, I'm Safia Wittershins, and I'm the editor of Prim Perfect magazine and the publisher, and the editor and publisher of the Primgraph as well. Prim Perfect is a magazine for homes and gardens in virtual worlds, and the Primgraph is another magazine I set up, which is for the Steamlands, which are steampunk and vintage Sims within Second Life, Sims being regions. So the magazine serves their needs. I also have a TV show called Designing Worlds, which is about design and designers in virtual worlds. So I'm quite busy.
Just a little. And PJ, tell us about yourself.
Gee, after all of that, my Second Life seems rather quiet. I'm PJ Trenton. I joined Second Life back in December of 2006 and have spent most of my time up until recently in the Second Life Arts community. I'm a photographer and a gallery owner in Second Life, and I also do some graphic design work for various individuals and companies in world. More recently, I've been fortunate enough to get involved with what I refer to as the Prim Perfect Empire, and have been having just an absolute blast getting out into some of the most interesting and creative places in Second Life, and being able to capture the images of those places. And I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of things related to that, helping out with designing worlds off and on. And I even did one Shakespeare performance in my time in Second Life.
Oh,
but right
excellent.
Now, mainly the photographer for Prim Perfect, Prim Graph, and the quest for the Golden Prim.
Yes, that is why we're here. So I just wanted to give everybody a chance to get to know a little bit about the two of you before we started dishing all the gossip about the quest itself. And very quickly, before we move into that, I'd just like to introduce myself for the people who are listening who are not familiar with who I am. I'm Gabrielle Real. I've been in Second Life for heading towards 3.5 years. I am the owner of Radio Real, or general director of Radio Real, I'd rather say, as well as the leader of two communities inside of Second Life, Edison and New Toulouse. And so with this podcast, I'm very thrilled to be combining the Radio Real media piece inside of Second Life with the Prim Perfect and Prim Graph piece of Second Life. And we're going to do that here with the quest for the Golden Prim. So thank you guys for being willing to be my guinea pigs for the first podcast. Okay, why we're here, the quest for the Golden Prim. This has been, I've been hearing about it for several months now. I remember when you put out the casting call back in July, I believe it was.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's been kind of bubbling along, and I've enjoyed kind of looking from the outside in on this whole adventure. And it is an adventure story, but I think it's a story about a lot more too. And I'm gonna ask Safia, are you the person that really came up with the inspiration for the quest, and what inspired you to go down this road and create this story?
Well, it started quite a while ago. I had an idea that, having done Designing Worlds on Treat TV, I was quite interested in the idea of doing a TV program about the steampunk worlds, perhaps even a drama. But the more I looked into it, and I talked about it with Wiz Nordberg, who's the head of Treat TV, and he is very enthusiastic about steampunk too. And we bounced the idea around, and it looked increasingly difficult to, in what are very busy lives, to fit in the demands of a complete drama series. And then a couple of the people who work on the Prim Graph were talking about fictional narratives, and I was saying yes, and I really like the idea of a TV series. And then suddenly it came to me how we could put the two together by actually using photographs and telling the story as a webcomic rather than trying to film it. And having had that idea, I started talking to people like JJ Drinkwater and Anishin Lowy and Viv Trafalgar, and the idea of the quest for the Golden Prim began to take shape.
Some of your answer actually is leading me into the next question. I guess I'll segue it this way. Was there one thing or one instant that made you real? I guess you said you were very focused on doing a TV drama.
Mm.
What was there anything specific that all of a sudden put the light off in your head that, wait a minute, what was it that kind of turned your focus and really kind of grabbed your attention that all of a sudden it was ding, 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 webcomic is the way to go with this?
I think it was looking at some of PJ's photos. He had done some gorgeous photos of Winterfell. And I was thinking how beautiful they would look. And he was also looking at the idea of making postcards of Caledon, because we did an article on Caledon on Sea. And I was looking at some of his photos and thinking that they could actually be used as settings. And then I thought one could actually make the webcomic and have the kind of high level of detail that you get in the very high class webcomics. That was the kind of eureka moment, and I then started babbling and telling everyone that this was the way to go and trying to convince them. And I did, yeah.
So it's all my fault.
Yeah, totally. Totally his fault.
You helped give her a little bit of the inspiration, but it's neat to see how you had different ideas from really different areas, and then all of a sudden it came together very clearly.
That's right.
And this is the way things usually happen creatively.
Yes.
All those pieces, bam, right into focus. But we'll blame you, PJ.
Hey, I've heard it before. If I had a Linden for every time I was blamed.
Another question for Safia. Was there anything about this our virtual world environment that you felt would really help promote this project? And was there anything about this environment that you thought could cause problems that might have been different types of problems that you would have had to overcome?
Well, there's the advantage that here it's actually comparatively easy if we want props to make them. So that in the first episode, we wanted, for example, underground passages, mysterious tunnels. And I just had to say this to JJ, and JJ said, oh, there are plenty of tunnels under Victoria City. They already exist. And, you know, like, we need extraordinary steam craft. Well, that's no problem. We just we needed a vessel for the pirates in episode 2. And PJ and I both had them in our inventory, and we just had to res them and ask the pirates to climb aboard. So, you know, a lot of the complicated devices that we need are readily available, and we can just use them. The problem is, I think it's really the problem for PJ of getting the extras and getting the characters to actually assume positions that we want them to assume, so that, and to make their faces sufficiently expressionful, because sometimes you can just seem to be wearing an expression of gentle interest, and at moments of high terror, moments of delight, moments of excitement, you are still just wearing the same expression of gentle interest. So that's something that we need to work on.
So PJ, you've really got some serious challenges with this project, but even so, you became involved.
How did
you become involved with the quest?
Well, I think it mainly was a spin-off of having been involved in the Primgraph magazine. That's where I sort of made my first met Safia and the rest of the crew, and that really started me because of assignments on Primgraph. You know, getting to know more about the steampunk and Victorian and historical communities in Second Life. And you know, it sort of just spun from there. As I'm not sure at the time that this was discussed and decided upon whether I had any idea of where we were going to end up.
Yes.
And how it was going to blossom in so many different ways. I don't think I would have believed that at the time. But that being said, the overall experience has just been really quite incredible for a number of reasons. And it's partly for the, you know, the really wonderful people that I've had a chance to meet and to work with so far. Also the chance of, you know, bringing something unique and creative, and at the time that we do it, it's a lot of fun. And I think the other thing is that it's a challenge. There's a lot of challenges in doing a lot of the scenes, and I really, really enjoy you really put your brain into high gear and try to figure out, you know, what can you do to overcome certain things in Second Life that limit you in trying to get exactly what you're looking for. So there's a whole bunch of factors that for me make it, you know, just one really, really neat experience that I'm very, very happy to be involved in.
Did you even have an inkling that it was, like, how do I say this politely? Did you have an inkling as to how much work it was going to be? Obviously, you're still committed to it, but did you have an idea, or has it been a bit of a surprise how it's, what it's turned out to be for you?
It has been a surprise, but it's been a pleasant surprise. It's, you know, I spent the last few days making trading cards, believe it or not. So all of these things I grew up with as a as a child and really enjoyed at the time. Here I am as a big child.
Aren't we all?
Getting involved and having a lot of fun with it. I had no idea. And the other challenge is we learn as we go along, and the medium is a little different than, you know, creating a traditional magazine article or a traditional piece. And as we've gone along, I think we've learned a lot of things. And, you know, we've only done two episodes. And I think in that time it's been we've come a long way in just those two episodes.
Yes, I agree.
We'll continue to learn those lessons and take them with you. That's why I'm excited to see how the story, not only how the story moves along as time goes on, but how you're going to take the lessons learned along the process of producing it all. And it'll probably be one of those things where, like, in 6 months, you'll look back at, you know, the first few issues that you did, and you'll think, oh my gosh, remember how we did this and it, you know, took us three times as long as it takes us now? And I'm going to be fascinated to see what lessons you learn and how you apply them in presenting the story to the public. Let's do this. Let's take a little bit of a break. I want to play some audio that we've put together that features actual lines from the webcomic itself. At the top of the show, I played the introduction that Rick had recorded with himself as the narrator, and then JJ Drinkwater, the keeper of the secrets, talking about it now being time to discuss the quest for the Golden Prim. And I have another clip that I would like to share with the audience. This is an airfield scene. And Safia, would you mind kind of setting it up and just briefly explain who these characters are in this scene and what's going on?
Well, this is the first time we actually meet the hero. The hero, Rafe Montcalm, is a pilot for the Royal Caledonian Air Force. And his friend Crotty has flown on a dangerous mission, and Rafe is waiting with the commander of the RCAF for Crotty to return, only he hasn't.
Oh dear. Okay, well, let's take a moment and I'll play this clip.
I don't like it. Crotty should have been back by now.
Want me to take a look, sir?
No, it's too dangerous. Come back, Montcalm. I could have you court-martialed for this.
You'll have to catch me first, sir.
So there was the introduction to our hero, and off he flew into the sky. Oh, that's so, listening to it on audio, don't even, I'm not even going to tell you how it gets me, my brain going about audio drama, because no. Stop, Gabby, stop. Okay, somebody tie me down, please. No more projects. But I like it because it brings it to life a little bit here in the podcast, and can give the listeners / readers just a little bit of extra information about the quest, and back to the quest itself and the story. This is for Safia. Who are the writers and who are working on the story for the quest?
Well, the writers are me, Viv Trafalgar, and Anishin Lowy, and we work on a Ning, and basically we toss ideas out and suggestions and little clips of dialogue and things and share things around. Now, that's the writers for the webcomic, but I want to explain that the webcomic is only going to be a small part of it, because the members of the cast who are joining, many of whom are joining us here for the Primgraph Summer Garden Party later on this afternoon, they have set up blogs and Twitters and Plurks and Facebook accounts, and they are going to be blogging and tweeting and plurking in character. It's already one of the first to have done set that up is Miss Prim, who is the heroine's governess and rather a stern woman, and it's great fun to follow her plurks daily as she tells us what tasks she's setting for the heroine Nan. So although the actual episodes are going to be primarily handled by the writers, we've got a whole kind of background viral campaign going on, and you'll be able to follow your favourite characters by reading their blogs, find out more information about them, keep up to date with them with their plurks and their tweets. And the idea is that the audience can become really involved. So we're going to make use not just of the webcomic and podcasting, but we're going to make use of a whole range of Web 2 media so that people can feel a real part of this experiment.
It's going to be fascinating to watch again from the outside. I've seen this happen in less structured environments, but it's going to be interesting to see how the cast members, the characters, and what they are blogging and kind of their own quote-unquote individual stories that they create within their blogs themselves, how that will start to seep in, and how different pieces of legend, I guess is the term I'm looking for, start to make their way into the webcomic itself.
That's right.
I can't wait.
Well, I can tell you there are some secret stories already going on, but they will be woven in to the main thread. And the way to keep up to date with all the things that are happening is actually to read the blog, the Golden Prim blog, and that is going to be the linking point. It will have pages from the quest coming out, The best way to read the prim, the quickest way to read the prim, is to read the prim graph, because that's where it will first come out. But then, page by page, it will start to appear on the Quest for the Golden Prim blog, which is http://goldenprim.blogspot.com.
Yes,
that
and
easy.
Also, I'm going to be posting the podcast episodes on the Golden Prim blog as well. So that's all of these episodes that we create can also be found on the Golden Prim blog. I have one more question about the characters, and this is more, I guess, from a story perspective. But when you and the other writers were kind of throwing ideas around, did you automatically know that there were certain character archetypes that you really wanted to include in this story, and what are a few examples of those?
There were certain archetypes. We wanted a hero, a heroine. We saw fairly early on that the heroine was going to have a governess, that the hero was going to have a sidekick. Obviously, the character of the librarian, the keeper of secrets, was right in there at the start. But we also had a few other archetypes that will emerge fairly swiftly. We knew that there was going to be someone who had been on the previous quest, and we knew that there were going to be some darker characters as well. Right from the beginning.
Good bad guys.
Yes, they are going to gradually emerge, and that's going to be great fun.
Now, switching from the story part of the quest to the actual visual part of the quest, and this is really directed more towards PJ, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about the look and feel of the webcomic and what were some of your inspirations that have led you to create this end result that we're seeing? Any specific considerations? What pieces did you pull together to create this end look?
Well, I think in terms of where we decide what we're going to shoot for a particular scene, we obviously have a collection of people that, you know, can contribute to that discussion and pick places that give us the look that we're going for. We've been fortunate to have a number of people in world who have been very generous in providing us with assistance and places in which to do the shoots that that really, really help bring the story together. I think a lot of it has to do with we do a lot of talking about sort of the mood of the scenes that we're shooting. The characters themselves are, quite involved. Once we get sort of to a location and start to work on that, we all work together as a team and, bounce ideas off of each other. And it's really great. I think the characters get a sense of being more than just, the people that pose here, there, and everywhere, because we tell them to do this, that, or the other thing, and to contribute in a meaningful way to the development of the story, so that the results at the end, I think, reflect that. We get I can go in there with a certain idea for a certain shot, and I must say I take an awful lot of photographs, and as we do these shots, and I think the other challenge that we face is there's certain things that nice in Second Life that you can build sets, or that you can, find unique items. And people seem to have, I never thought that I would, have a use for some of the strange and bizarre things that I've collected over my Second Life. But, thankfully I didn't delete those from inventory, because they're proving to be quite useful. But that being said, the other side of that is that there are certain things that are challenges in Second Life, and Safia mentioned trying to get the right expressions and sort of feel from the characters. Our friend Lag is often a foe, And so, you know, we get to be creative and think of ways in which to resolve those. You know, really, we've done the two episodes. The first episode was rather the short, teasing introduction to the story, and you know, we've really just done the two scenes since then. And I think, you know, I have certain ideas about, you know, many of us watch, you know, the types of movies and, you know, other things that are out there that sort of are in this realm and give us, you know, some good ideas to start with. So I think, you know, trying to catch the other thing is that, you know, we can control the environment to a great extent, and that helps me in particular to, you know, make a scene dark and brooding, or to make it foggy, or all of those things. So I think together, though, it's a whole huge team effort, and I just love the fact that they give me a script and they send me out with all of these neat people and say, make it so. And at the end of the day, no avatars are killed in the making of this production.
Unless they want to be.
Yes.
PJ, have you always been a fan of comic books, graphic novels?
I have, yes, actually. So it's kind of interesting to be involved at a totally different and ultimately cool level. You know, watching the story come together and is really quite interesting.
Excellent. That's one of the great things about Second Life, is it allows you in unexpected ways to actually execute things that you might have enjoyed during your life at different times, or in your case, you enjoyed comics, and now you actually get to be part of a team that creates one.
Exactly. Although I'm a little afraid of tinies now.
that was a hilarious experience. For episode two, we had a shot which is meant to be the tinies of Tanglewood stricken by a dread disease, and actually getting 25 tinies to lie down and play, if not dead, then very sick, was extremely difficult. They insisted on getting up and river dancing at PJ.
Yes, why am I not surprised? It was a terrifying experience.
It was. Back to counseling.
Well, I want to play one last clip, audio clip, that our listeners can enjoy. And this is our heroine. Is there anything else you'd like to say about this clip of Nan Sephia?
No, this is this is the first appearance of the heroine. She actually appears along with someone who is proving to be a real star of the show, which is her beagle, Lola.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Oh, Lola, wouldn't it be wonderful if some handsome gentleman came to call? Only nothing ever happens to me, except lessons.
Oh, I think she's going to have a handsome gentleman coming to call.
I think there may be a few lurking on her horizons.
She'll be having a whole new kind of lessons.
Is it too late for me to get a part?
You're too valuable.
I missed the casting call.
Yes, but I should say that we have got together a fantastic cast, and as well as the archetypes, we've got people who have created their own parts. They came to us with suggestions for what they could play, and it's built together into a really fascinating cast. And it's great fun. It's almost like, for them, their avatars are now in a TV series, in a way.
Exactly.
It works much the same way. And I think everyone is having the most tremendous fun.
Well, sad to say it, but we need to wrap this up. But I wanted to thank both of you so much for coming on here and speaking to me about The Quest. And I'm sure I'll be dragging you on air many more times in the future.
I look forward to it.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you all for listening to us, and keep your eyes and ears open, because the next Quest for the Golden Prim podcast will be coming available right about the time that the next Primgraph edition hits the virtual newsstands, and we'll be bringing you more backstage information. I'll have hopefully some characters on with me to interview, and all sorts of exciting adventures. So thank you so much, you guys, and I hope that all of you out there are enjoying yourselves, and that you're going to have a great time coming on this adventure with us. The Quest for the Golden Prim podcast is a joint production of Radio Reel and the Primgraph. You can learn more on the web about Radio Reel at radioreel.org and the Primgraph at primgraph.blogspot.com. Music on this program includes works from artists on the Magnatune label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com. The Quest for the Golden Prim podcast is licensed under Creative Commons.